Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, my hotep to everyone. Welcome to another special edition of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. And of course, we say Haborigani. And with that, also, we say to you, it is time for some real creativity. Well, we know that as a people, we have always been blessed to have a certain type of creativity. Well, certainly we're going to demonstrate that to a greater extent now. I guess we have to, but without having to, we just do it anyway. At any rate, this is the day of Kaumba creativity, and we welcome you to this segment of New Day. Very shortly, we're going to talk about several things, including this being Saint Amy Jack Garvey Day. Yep. Mother Amy Joyce Garvey is one of the 20 sister saints that MWM kind of initiated in 2017. And we had to put a couple of our projects on hold. You know, the corona thing made our timetables a little different, but we can tell you that we are definitely bringing forward some very, very exciting things for our 20 sister saints. And we're going to tell you about that, a little bit about that very shortly. Later on tonight, we're going to be talking with our brother Zion, Lion Zion, we call him, but his name is actually Lion Blyden, okay? And we are going to talk to him about some of the great work of the Saint Amy Jacques Garvey. And, of course, Brother Lion is the Minister of Education for the UNIA ACL. We're going to learn about our dear mother, our dear warrior, all right, because I'm sure when you hear what our brother's going to convey to us, some of the information, I'm sure there's going to be some stuff you didn't know, because he's always pulling some things out that we really don't know much about. At any rate, we're going to talk with him very shortly. And also I'll remind you that this is Watch Night. Watch Night Night. At any rate, it's something that, you know, needless to say, for some, it's a questionable kind of observance, and that's okay. We want to at least make sure that you know what it is, why it is, and so forth. So we're going to talk a little bit about Watch Night. Got a whole bunch of other stuff to tell you, too, needless to say. And definitely tomorrow, I want to remind you that we will be doing the finale, the Kwanzaa, the Nguza Saba Day of Imani Faith. We'll be doing that tomorrow via Zoom from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock. I'm going to tell you more about that a little later on as well. However, for right now, I want to just share this little poem with you. Women, we are Mother Earth. We are creators of all beings and things. All right. Yes, indeed. That was a sister. I don't know who her name was, but I found that poem somewhere, and I said we're going to share that with you, as we will tomorrow. Again, we will be doing our Imani, our Day of Faith, tomorrow from 6 to 9 p.m. virtual on Zoom. If you haven't gotten the link yet, you will. If you're already in our e-list or text blast, we'll be getting that to you. If you haven't gotten it yet, we'll be sending it out again between today and tomorrow. But again, 6 o'clock tomorrow p.m. Eastern Time, we will commence with the final day of Kwanzaa, and it is Imani. All right, moving right along. Let me see, what else do we have for you right now? I want to let sisters know that on Saturday, we will begin some special sessions as we prepare for some very important kinds of activities just for our women. We have launched now, of course, the A Million Black Women Rising. The Federation is now in full effect. And with that said, we are getting ready to go both nationwide and globally to implement the idea, the philosophy, the methodology, and so forth as it pertains to bringing forward the first global movement for women and girls of African descent worldwide. Yep, we are it. The Million Woman March, Universal Movement, we're the ones. And so we're now going to let people know and see just who we are, what we are about, in case there was any doubt. And believe you me, the enemy has made certain that they put some doubt out there. And it's okay, because it just enabled us to really see, to a greater extent, the kind of trickery, the kind of games that they play. Not that we didn't know, but certainly we've been able to see it up close and personal. And it is a wonderful thing to be able to know without a shadow of a doubt what these people, what this system will do. Again, we know what they have done, and guess what? We see what it is they're doing right now, which reminds me, we do have another, we reserve the right session coming up. I have to check the date on that, but you know, we've been doing various sessions to focus on this COVID situation, to look and examine closer of some of the things that have been reported, but also some of the things that have not necessarily been reported, and particularly the things that we need to know to better understand how we need to make what the decisions that we need to make for ourselves, for our families, and for our communities, right? And so, again, we'll have another session coming up. I'll find that date for you very shortly as to when that is going to happen, but I know it's going to be in a couple of weeks. We will have with us the representative from IFCO will be joining us. And for those who are not familiar with that organization, that is one of the organizations that is well known internationally for doing a lot of great work. One of the other entities within that group is, of course, Pastors for Peace, I believe it is. And of course, from that group comes the free medical school training that's in Cuba. And so MWM is going to be partnering with that organization starting in 2021, and we will be recruiting our children, our students who are interested in going to Cuba to study medicine. We will be recruiting beginning again for 2021 and get them ready for 2022 and beyond. We'll be telling you more about that very soon, but that is, in fact, one of the partners that we have secured in some of the activities and some of the work that we will be implementing again. And during the next 5 years, you know, we have something called the Black Print 2020 to 25, and groundbreaking, and that puts it mildly. The other thing we want to remind you of is that as of today, the Day of Creativity, those who are interested in participating, presenting, et cetera,
for the first international concert. Yep, that's going to happen February the 21st, 2021. Again, February
21st, 2021, there will in fact be an international Black human rights concert. It's called We Stand as One in Solidarity, and it will feature some dynamite performers. Both visual and performing arts is going to be featured. So essentially, it'll be a lot of dance and music and other things that pertains to performing arts, dance, vocal, spoken word, you know, all of those kinds of things. But there's going to also be some segments that will be visual arts, because we want to show the spirit of resistance and so forth by way of visual art, meaning paintings, photos, even short film documentaries, etc. So there will be 24 hours. Yep, 24 hours of just, you know, incredible kinds of information, presentation, and so forth. And so again, you'll hear more about that as we move things forward, but please mark your calendar, February 21st, 2021. It will be a fundraiser. It will also, it'll be several days prior to that, that will be a summit, what we call Indaba Summit, which is for reparatory justice, and that will kind of lead us into the concert. And so, again, in the next week or so, we'll be giving you some specifics about that. And definitely look forward to many of our folks here in the U.S., of course, participating as well as globally. Okay, moving right along. Let's see. Was something else we want to share with you? Oh, tomorrow when we do our Imani, Day of Imani, Day of Faith, it also introduces what we call the black market. Now, you know, in the streets, we are very familiar with the concept and the idea of the black market, right? And it always kind of suggests that it was something that just wasn't mainstream or whatever. Well, of course, for us, we're going to be very mainstream in the context of making sure that people know that this is what we have. Our focus is, of course, to make certain that our people are going to support black folks in terms of business, okay? And so, again, the black marketplace begins tomorrow, virtually. The last hour of our program for tomorrow is going to feature various folk with goods, services, and other things relevant to business, right? Business and finance growth development. So we're going to be talking a bit about bartering, other types of currency or money exchange. We're going to be talking about our project known as In the Black, and also our project or campaign that is known as the BBBCO. The BBBCO is a national component of MWM, and it consists of beauticians, braiders, barbers, and cosmetologists. And so we've created a whole unit of our people so that we can now support one of the most, I would think, progressive and productive businesses throughout our communities nationwide. And that is, of course, beauticians, braiders, barbers, and cosmetologists. This is a group of people that is in all of our communities. And, of course, our research indicates that everyone goes to one of those, or most family members, at least one in the household, goes to one of those people twice a month. And so why not have that as one of our main kinds of groups that we are able to interact with, work with, build with on an ongoing basis? So, again, the BBBCO is coming your way. We will have probably our first convention sometime next year, or shall I say start, well, we're almost in the next year, so again, 2021, But again, we kind of have to wait to see how things are going to play out with the COVID thing, okay? So, you know, stay tuned for that. If you want more information about anything that I've said thus far, please feel free to email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Or you can call us at area code 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802. Actually, it's best to send a text, okay, to that number. Okay, let me see what other announcements we might have for you. Oh, one more thing. For those who are in our group, E-List, E-Blast, then you, of course, know that we will begin our first independent educational entity beginning in February, right? We began sending that out today, and so it is official. We have begun getting instructors, those who want to hold forums and other kinds of things. They're now ready to begin being a part of our independent educational kind of operation, and it is called the MKABA, MKABA, which is capital M-K-A-B-A, MKABA, University Online Independent. We'll be having classes every day, okay, and it includes arts and culture. Oh, my gosh, health, of course, you know, the things that are relevant to our personal growth and development, relationship building, also, of course, food preparation, natural food preparations, self-defense, right? Oh, my gosh, we have a whole list of things that we'll be offering to our people, okay? This is for our people only. And the instructors are only our people, all right? So, again, we'll tell you more about that a little later on, but it is official. It is now underway. And, again, we are looking forward so much to, you know, bringing this component. We've been working on it for a while. We've been talking about independent education, as you all know, for our children. And so we're going to have that conversation, too, very soon because we're ready to launch that. But that won't be coming until September. Now that people have gotten acclimated to our children, you know, having their classes online, it will not be quite as difficult to get folks to now move away from the so-called public school system craziness. I mean, really, they're already doing stuff online. So now we're going to make sure that the kinds of information and other components that is necessary for our children to not be caught up in these crazy schools, unless that's what people want, but they certainly will have an alternative. We're going to make that happen come September. Okay, so stay tuned for that. Okay, I think we do have our brother Lion in queue waiting, ready. And again, family, we declare this. Saint Amy Jacques Garby Day. That's right. We said it's her day. And so, again, you all know that for several years now, with our 20 sister saints, every year we do something either at the time of their Earth Day or birthday, as some call it, or at the time of their transition slash ancestral ascension day. And so this is, of course, the day that Amy Jacques Garby was physically brought into this realm of existence. Now, certainly many are familiar with the Honorable Marcus Garvey, but unfortunately there are many who are not as familiar with Amy Jacques Garvey. And so we're going to kind of make sure that that doesn't continue, particularly given the fact how instrumental she really, really was in the development of the UNIAACL. But anyway, we're going to bring Brother Lion in and let him tell you more about that. He certainly knows more about it than I do. And I'm going to definitely sit back and take some notes because he's always bringing some powerful information
And so, again, family, this is what we're talking about in terms of our new Inkaba institution, Inkaba University. This is what we're talking about, bringing to you every day a consistent flow of not only information, but instruction, training, and so forth. This is long overdue, and certainly MWM, we are so pleased to be bringing this to you. Okay, so let's do this. We're going to go to our live line, and we're going to have Brother Lyon to share this information with us and bring these things forward as we also commemorate Kaumba Creativity. Hey, Brother Lyon, how you be tonight?
Greetings, Mother Empress. How is everything with you?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. I mean, with all things considered, we here, we are Black, and we are unapologetic about that. So, of course, it is just incredible to be able to share with our family tonight as we get ready to come into, you know, a so-called new year, and if not that, certainly it's going to be a different cycle coming in, whatever you want to call it. You can believe that one.
Yes, ma'am.
So, my brother, tell us about, of course, we call her Saint Amy Jacques Garvey. So tell us more about our great warrior queen, and that just puts it mildly.
Okay. Well, first, I would like to thank you again for inviting me on to the show. I'd like to greet your audience in the words of peace, shalom, assalamu alaikum, hotep, alafia, and as always, race first. My name is Lyon Blythe. I am the Minister of Information of the UNIAACL and President of Buffalo Division 433. So tonight we are going to be speaking about Amy Jacques Garvey. She is, like you said, the warrior queen, Saint Amy Jacques Garvey. Without her, most of the information that we have on Marcus Garvey, we may not have, and definitely not in the way that we have it. So for her and her memory, we all say Ashe.
Ashe.
So how long did you want me to go? Because, you know, I get to preach it, Mother Empress.
Oh, listen, I mean, do your thing, brother. We're on until at least 12 o'clock, so, because we want to bring the so-called New Year in with our family. So go right on.
All right. Well, it is Kwanzaa, so Habari Gani, Kumba Habari Gani to the family.
Kumba.
And so speaking about Amy Jacques Garvey, so what I'm going to speak to you from today comes from our recent edition of the Garvey Voice. This African queen was a pioneering journalist and activist of Pan-Africanism. She was a dutiful wife who organized and archived her husband's speeches and writings. Little did she know that the two volumes that she would arrange and manage would go on to be the holy books of African United. Amy Euphemia Jacques Garvey was born on December 31st, 1895, in Kingston, Jamaica, and she would attend Womer schools, and it is known to have been a very forward-thinking woman of her time. She came to New York in 1917 and soon after became involved with publishing the Negro World newspaper in 1918. Just several months after marrying Marcus Garvey in 1922, Amy Jacques began editing Volume 1 of Philosophy Opinions of Marcus Matthias Garvey. Her initial purpose in editing this journal was to provide means for the general public to form their own opinion about Marcus Garvey and Garveyism without the stigma provided by biased sources of the time. Amy's place in both the movement and the organization soon shifted. Instead of taking a back seat to her husband and working in the shadow to strengthen his platform, Amy became the face and the representation of the women of the UNIA. Over the years, Amy moved from simply perpetuating her husband's ideas to shaping and disseminating the philosophy of Garveyism. Most significantly, as editor of the two volumes of the Philosophy of Opinions of Marcus Garvey, she coalesced the scope of Garveyism and how it would be presented to the world. defending Garvey the man and Garveyism as an ideology became the purpose of her existence until her death in 1973. Ashe. For example, when publications cited Garveyism as theoretical philosophy, she responded by underscoring that it was not only a theoretical philosophy, but a working idealism geared to the crying needs of an entire race. As the wife of Marcus Garvey, Amy worked closely with him to keep the movement afloat. And as the archivist for the organization, she kept meticulous records of his speeches and the efforts of other activists determined to empower Africans at home and throughout the diaspora. Over time, Amy Jacques became an independent Pan-African intellectual of stellar proportion. Now that came from our Garvey's Voice, the UNIA publication in January 2019.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry?
No, continue, please.
Okay. All right, so the next thing I wanted to read from here is actually a speech that she gave for the 5th Pan-African Congress in 1945. So we try to really understand our ancestors and what they were going through. Most of them wrote down for us in their own words or gave speeches and it was transcribed. So this is from a speech entitled Africans at Home and Abroad. So goes Amy Jacques Garvey's message to the Africans. It's titled, We Must Redeem Ourselves. We, the sons and daughters of Africa, scattered all over the world by providential purpose, but united by the ties of blood, once separated by insidious propaganda to divide and rule us, now united to fulfill divine destiny. We face a united white world. As far as race is concerned, millions of whom have helped to rescue, we have helped to rescue from Nazi slavery and Japanese tyranny. Paradoxical enough, it is from these same people that we must wrest our full liberties, while they take to their bosoms their former German slave drivers. Their Christianity is so commercialized that the ethical core is taken out of it, so no appeal to conscience or morals is effective. Their laws are made and interpreted by the corruption of their own thinking, so that the black men are forever in the toils of the law, taxed without representation, disenfranchised and robbed of land, wealth and labor to their own country, by alien minorities according to law, and lynched in the majority population because of the unwritten law. The ties of blood that bind us transcends all national boundaries. The differences of languages and dialects are being overcome as all of us are learning the language of freedom. As Africans at home and abroad, we join hands across the oceans of the world. We pool our brains and our resources, slender though they may be, and together we fulfill the high calling of our Creator to live as men and women and die as men and women. Ashe. Now, that was a speech given in 1945.
Wow.
Powerful. Her whole life.
Wow. Wow.
So, yeah, that's one thing I really want to touch on with her
before
work.
Before we talk more about her, I just want to, because something just came to mind, and I have to ask this question, and I'm hoping our family will also think about this and maybe be ready for some dialogue, if not tonight, at another time, and it's this. Why, you know, I always stir up the pot, as they say. Why is it that when we think about Black liberation, and we do, and we engage in those things, okay? But why is it you rarely hear the name AJ or Amy Jacques Garvey? And I'm saying even amongst the women, not only women groups and organizations in particular, needless to say, but also in terms of Black liberation, Pan-Africanists, groups and organizations, you rarely hear the name Amy Jacques Garvey. Things that make you want to go, What do you think about that, Brother Lyon? Why do you think that is?
I have several thoughts on that. I think one, the wonderful nature of our African women to do without seeking attention and without seeking fame in that way, just to do for the race. She was one of those. And so in her efforts to preserve Garvey's words and works, I don't know how much effort she put into actually pushing her own. Because even when she was giving speeches, like you heard in the speech there, even to the end of her life, she was still promoting Garveyism and not so much herself as some sort of pioneer. Also, the negative side of that is clearly obvious. The being written out of history for being a black nationalist. Also, the chauvinist world that would, they already hated Garvey in itself and definitely would hate a woman standing up to them, telling them that they're not doing right. So everything they could do to try and keep the powerful sisters out of the spotlight, those that have worked against our race and a racial uplift for so many years, would definitely try and keep her out of it. So I appreciate the work that you're doing, Mother Empress.
All right. Well, I thank you. So I just want to expand on your thoughts and comments and this. So we know that back in the day, as one might call it, our women, as you just said, certainly had no problem with taking the back seat, for lack of a better word. However, we are now in the 21st century. So even though our women did, in fact, consciously, say, okay, we're not doing us. We want to make sure we push our men to the forefront. And that's all understood. But I'm saying those of us who are here now, right, and in recent years, why would we not see the necessity of making certain that our ancestors who made certain contributions is known to us, is known to our children? So we understand that, yes, during that era, during that time period, of course, that's how it was. Regardless of what anybody thinks or say, that's what people wanted to do. Many of our women, that's what they wanted to do. We understand that. But I'm saying, Brother Lyon, right now, in recent years, seeing how, other women from other races are pushed to the forefront in terms of their accomplishments, would we not think it's in our best interest to make certain that our women is given their just dues, is given their props?
That's a deep slice. I'm not going to try and defend everybody on that one. And for all you listeners, y'all on your own on that one. Please big up and protect our women. That is a move. We have to make sure our women are protected. Without them, we would be nowhere, including me, myself. My wife is the reason I'm standing. So that we need to instill that in our children from the beginning, and that is a failure that we must accept.
Okay. Well, you're kind of dancing around my question, but that's okay. I mean, because I hear what you're saying. That's not exactly what I'm asking. And again, this is not what, in other words, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, brother. You got to know. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm just saying from an observation or from an evaluation, right? This is what's happening. And as a result, our young girls are put in this situation where they ain't even looking at nobody black as a black woman, as it pertains to black women actually doing certain kinds of things. The black women that they identify with, for the most part, it's problematic at best. And I'm really suggesting and saying, by the way, that part of that has to do with that in these past 50 years, in particular, there has been a neglect to make certain that our women are as I won't say as well known as our men, because I know we're in a patriarchal society. So, but I will say at least to the degree where they're not so pushed to the side that hardly nobody know them. When you talk about the work that they've done, look at that movie that just came out, Hidden something. Oh, gosh. It was about the three women at NASA.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Did all that work. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, you know, wow. All of that. So obviously there's something really wrong here that you would have that kind of contribution, you know, made our people doing that, our women doing that. And yet, you know, it's like just being discovered or just being uncovered or what have you. There's something wrong with that, I would think. Family, I suggest you all chime in if you'd like. You can press one now to share your views about it. But certainly, I would say that the fact that we now have a lot of missing women all over the country, the fact that mass incarceration has increased in terms of our women, the fact that our young girls, to talk about that, well, that's a whole nother topic with many of our young black sisters, little girls. So I dare say that some of that possibly could be because we're not really showing examples to the degree that we need to. Anyway, I digress. Let's go back to another queen mother, Amy Josh Garvey. So share some more with us, Brother Ryan.
Definitely. First of all, I definitely agree with what you're saying. It is an extreme failure on our part that the history has been lost because it's up to us to teach our own history. And so you are definitely correct in that. One thing I wanted to mention about Amy Garvey was that she mentioned that the biggest influence in her life was her father. He actually was looking forward to having a boy. And when he didn't, he actually raised her as a boy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not necessarily in that manner, but just as you would raise a boy in the mindset that we were just talking about. So instead of just teaching the girls how to do one thing and the boys how to do one thing, they was teaching her how to read, how to study, how to be independent physically. She was farming and doing physical labor, general things that you would think a boy to be doing back in the 1800s. She was learning that. And so that's shaped her moving forward as far as being a strong, independent woman and being able to be on her own, hold her own in Pan-Africanism and being a leader of people. Again, all of these stories are stories that should be public knowledge. And, you know, it's always been my cry that we need our own everything. So from hospitals to law to security to schools, we need to be able to provide not only just food and money for our people, we need to provide proper information and proper cultural practices. She was just amazing, and she had one quote I wanted to read. That's awesome. She says, "If I may say so, the women of my race are tops. We're the cream. We never let our men feel degraded. They lean on us so much, so we have to push them along, so we get things done. We can sense danger and then warn our man, and a woman or a black man is good at seeing details, even in drawing. A man will draw things on a big scale, but he leaves out the little things. A woman never misses details because that's how God intended her to be." So, and it says, the last quote says, "to help her man and make both of them great." So I do believe that there was a definite, what do you say, a patriarchal mindset through everybody to a point. But when we see somebody that's doing great works, it should not gender should not matter, and especially for the fact that our women are the greatest of us, we should always lift them up on the highest of pedestals. So I just thought that was an interesting quote while we talk about that, because she was saying The women of my race are top, sweet and cream. we the best. But she also recognized that
right.
we lean on you guys too much sometimes.
Wow. You know, I think it's important, and that's one of the reasons why MWM, you know, is doing the work that it is doing. And contrary to some that want to stay stuck on stupid, it was never about just trying to highlight our women or do everything for our women. It was never about that. Of course, there are things that we are adamant about in terms of our women and doing for our women, but it was always and shall always be about our families, our communities, and so forth. But there does come a time when, you know, every area of our people have to do, you know, various things that is relevant to them. You know, the children, there's certain things that have to be done for the children. There's certain things that have to be done with and for the brothers. And so the same thing applies to the women. And that's been a hard thing for many to swallow, but too bad, because it is what it is. And it is definitely going to be what it has to be. Here's a perfect example. If you ask, not Garveyites per se, but those that talk about the Honorable Marcus Garvey, you know, in terms of, you know, just knowing about his work or whatever, if you ask, what was his mother's name? 9 out of 10, they can't tell you that. That's not relevant at all, you see. Whereas in other people's cultures, to know the names of their mother and father is very important from a historical perspective. You know, the son of, you know, the daughter of, well, usually the son of, but my point is, when you ask most, you know, who say they study, you know, Black nationalism and Pan-Africanism and all that, just ask them, so what was the Honorable Marcus Garvey's mother's name? And you'll hear crickets, 9 out of 10. You see? And I'm merely giving that example to show how, as we now proceed to move forward, to bring forward real justice and real liberation, because that is what is about to happen, then truly we've got to change some of the things that we're now doing. And so, you know, I've got to say these things clearly, because I would be remiss if I didn't. And I don't want my ancestors to be, you know, on my back going, girl, you know what you should have said. Okay. So I'm saying it. Now, what people do about it, that's on them. But they ain't going to be on me because I didn't say it. Right?
And I don't want to interrupt. Can I just interrupt for 1 second? Because while you're talking, I'm getting a little pain in my left shoulder. It's telling me I should say something real quick. So her name was Sarah. So we could just.
That's right. Absolutely.
Go on.
And I tell you how significant that is for me. And I think as other people, you know, grow and develop, they're able to connect the black dots. My grandmother's name was Sarah. You see? So for some of us, we're able to relate, you know, even though there's this historical thing, that, you know, we're able to make connections in our own way, you see, because my grandma's name was Sarah. Also, my mom's name was Harriet, you know. So I tell people, yeah, I'm Harriet's daughter, for real, all across the board. Anyway, you know, so I'm just saying that it's important that we do better, that we do more, that we make sure we embrace, you know, the whole thing as much as possible. Surely the great works speak for themselves, and it represents, you know, definitely is representing. But I think we're doing an injustice. Those of us who say we're about certain things in particular, not those that aren't, you know, interested or not try. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the folks that say they're about certain things. You know, we got to do a little bit better. You know, me and others too. So I'm not exempt. Believe me. So I'm just saying, as we proceed into this 2021, I too am putting forth more effort,
you know, to become more astute, to become more, you know, just capable and able to retain and sustain certain kinds of not just information, but the essence of it. Okay. So going back to you, my brother, I would be remiss if I did not mention something that, again, many may not know about, and it is called This Flag of Mine. How about that, Brother Ryan?
Yes, ma'am.
A little bit about. Okay. You got it.
I do got it. I don't have the whole thing memorized off top, but I can tell you that the reason that it was written was to before I even say that, a lot of times people, you know what I'm saying, especially during Kwanzaa, they misquote that as the UNIA pledge. And it is not that. It is called the Adoration to the Flag. And the reason for that is because, first of all, we have a flag, first of all. I mean, we have an anthem, pledge. But the adoration for the flag is supposed to be, you know what I'm saying, it was her literally letting you know the depths to what, you know what I'm saying, to what the colors mean and nationhood is to me. And just like you were saying, as far as making sure that you honor the ancestors that's gone before you, it's really putting the flag in that context. So I just wanted to say that. So sometimes when we're dealing with the This Flag of Mine, people call it the Pledge of Allegiance. It is not that. It is the adoration of the flag.
Right.
So I didn't mean to go into that diatribe. So real quick, you want me to read?
I have it right here too. So by all means, go right ahead.
Okay. Here's to this flag of mine, the red, the black, and the green. Hopes in its future bright, Africa have seen. Here's to the red of it, great nations shall know of it. In time to gun, red blood shall flow of it, great flag of mine. Here's to the black of it, 400 million back of it, whose destiny depends on it, the red, black, and green of it, old flag of mine. Here's to the green of it, young men shall dream of it, face shot in shells of it, waving so high. Here's to the whole of it, broad and pole of it, colors broad and pole of it. Pleased is my soul with it, regardless of what is told of it. Thank God for giving it, great flag of mine. Ashe.
Ashe. Yes, 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 yes. All right. Woo.
I wish I could have got a Queen Mother Tanaya to come on here from Chicago. When she reads it, oh my goodness, you get goosebumps. It's like she's summoning Amy herself.
Wow. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay. So, again, family, we're reminding you that today is St. Amy John Scarvey Day, December 31st. And she was born, of course, in 1885 in Jamaica. Again, you know, we are responsible, meaning MWM, in our sisterhood, we are responsible to make certain that some of our women, some of those who really, you know, I mean, there's so many, of course, and we'll never know the names of all of them, obviously, but the names that we do know, we are responsible of making certain that our children know these names and their work, if nothing else. Okay, and so, again, I don't know if I told you, Brother Lyon, that we are in the process of publishing our first children's educational, I guess you can call it book, but it's a coloring book, and it will feature our 20 sister saints. Okay, and so, of course, Saint Amy Dot Scarvey is one of our 20 sister saints. So we hope to have this ready for February, Black History Month. We are a little behind schedule. You know, again, as we told people, COVID has really kind of messed up some timetables. So we have to kind of wait and see how things go, because stuff was shut down for a minute there, and some of our shops didn't even reopen. Some of the shops that we did business with, they didn't even reopen. You know, so we are looking, you know, for other kinds of outlets. But at any rate, it is going to come. That's for certain. Again, our first coloring book for children will feature our 20 sister saints. Okay? So we're putting it out there to you all. If you know somebody that does printing, we also need additional graphic work done. Very simplistic stuff. We certainly welcome your inquiry. And you can send us an email at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Okay, going back to our brother. Let me see. Oh, thank you, Sister Manira. Sister Manira just told us today was also Dr. Ben's birthday.
All right. Yes, I see.
Thank you, Manira. Yeah, she just texted that to me. Say, I love it. I love our network. No,
I believe Brother Dr. John Henry Clark was yesterday.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, yesterday we paid tribute to President General Reedman Battle. That was his transition day. Yep, we paid tribute to him on the Day of Purpose. I remember that day so well. We were at a Kwanzaa program, and they came in and they said, "Baba Reedman just passed." I will never forget that day. And I said, well, it's appropriate for him to make transition on the Day of Purpose.
I say. Excellent brother.
That's why I always remember that day. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. But anyway, okay, so let's go back to talking a little more about the great. I like AJ. I like that. That sounds so good. Spank AJ. I like that. Okay. So I want to go for a minute because I think it's important, again, that people and I familiarize myself more as well with some of the other things that we can connect to. For example, it was Kwame Nkrumah that, of course, invited St. Amy Jaskarby to Ghana. Okay, and of course, you know, we're talking about this is a time period when Pan-Africanism is really beginning to develop. And I bring that to everyone's attention because it's so important that we continue to see the relevancy of President Kwame Nkrumah, Shazi Sol Kwame Nkrumah, because that pops up again when we talk about Malcolm X. So even though there's like, you know, decades that have, you know, transpired, the connection is still there. And, of course, to say or to mention that El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, Malcolm X's parents were, in fact, Garveyites.
Yes, yes.
So there's
Omaha.
There's a definite connection, right? And so, again, we can see how and why Malcolm X, in his last years, talking about black nationalism, you see, we could see kind of, you know, where it began to kind of develop and grow even more with him going to Africa. And then, of course, you know, talking more about and striving to bring forth the issue of human rights. And, of course, he went to Ghana as well.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about, you know, Amy Jaskarby, the trip or the going to Africa. Because, again, I think it's important that our people really understand the relationship and the fact, the importance of how we have to do work here, obviously. But even then, when, you know, travel wasn't as easy as it is now, even then there was a real importance of making certain that our people who were talking about liberation, justice, and so forth, it was very important to connect with our motherland.
Well, absolutely. Well, of course, we can never forget that the motto and the culture of the UNIA was Africa for the Africans at home and abroad. Mm-hmm. And we are clearly abroad. Home is definitely the mother continent. Mm-hmm. And like I was saying earlier, from her words, actually, when she spoke, everything is geared towards not a back to Africa movement, but to connect with the continent. Like she said, reaching out across the ocean to make sure that our mother continent is strong so it can provide for us wherever we are on the planet. And then we can provide for it. The goals of those trips was always to keep that connection strong. Again, in the interest of Garveyism, in the interest of Black nationalism, to help liberate the still to this day colonialized African continent. But that's a different story. One thing I did want to touch on, if you don't mind me going left real quick, is her involvement in Black Cross Nurses. When you mentioned the fact that the COVID strike and shutdown, et cetera, 100 years ago in the Spanish flu is when the Black Cross Nurses was created. Again, another time when our Black women, without our Black women, we literally would not be here. When they saw us getting sick and not being able to be treated in hospitals, they took over. Amy John Garvey, Amy Ashwood, Henrietta Vinton Davis, Cleopatra White. So these are some of the names that were earliest Black Cross nurses that were able to not only make house visits and provide essential care to our citizens around the world, but we actually created cloth masks at the time to be distributed throughout all of the North America and South America. And even a little bit later on, she was instrumental in orchestrating supplies from the Black Cross nurses to the Ethiopian the troops in the Ethiopian Italian War. So she was instrumental on a Pan-African level that, again, may not be highlighted if we don't do things like this to shine a light on those great works.
And again, to recap a little bit of that, she was meeting, St. Amy was, in fact, one of the actual organizers for the 5th Pan-African Congress session, right? That was in 1945. So, again, I think it's really important to note that a Black woman, an African woman, was in fact one of the key organizers of something of that magnificent, of that caliber. We have to note that as we proceed in doing the work that we have to do or are going to do, we have to kind of make certain that we understand those who laid that groundwork for us. Because again, we would be remiss and negligent if we did not. Okay.
Matter of fact, Mother Empress, that the speech that I read from her earlier was actually the address that she gave in 1945 at that conference. Yes, ma'am.
Right. Yep. I know. I just wanted to kind of put that in context to everyone, though, that she not only spoke there, she not only addressed the folk there, but she actually was an integral part of organizing. And I say that again because, as I've done research now about the past 50 years of what we call struggle movement and so forth, because I really wanted to understand or have a better understanding of what the heck happened. Why are we here today, doing what we're doing, not doing what we should be doing in many instances, and when folks was doing this stuff 50 years ago. So I had to look very closely. And so 2 years ago, 2 years ago, we did the 50-year anniversary commemoration of the Black Power Conference that took place here in Philadelphia in 1968, which was incredible. Again, that was before my time, but certainly if you're studying the movements of our people, you have to look at those things that really, 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 really had an impact. And so knowing what brothers and sisters were doing then,
And looking at what folks were doing now, I had to have a better understanding of what happened. Because something went awry, for real. And I'm not just talking about, of course, we know COINTELPRO definitely played a major role in you know, destroying and disrupting. But some other stuff happened. And I can tell you, with the research that we've been able to bring about, we got some pretty good clarity about some of the other stuff that happened. And that's why I'm saying it's very important that we connect the dots now, meaning to help our people to know today what real organizing is, you see, because something's going on right now that is a lot of hype, a lot of hype. Right, and it's orchestrated often by our enemies. See, so we need to really get a better, you know, some better insight into what organizing really is as it pertains to us. You see, and so that's why I'm pointing out some of the people who we know, man, they were doing some serious organizing and doing it in the kind of way that only we could do. That only we could do. Okay. Whew, okay, so moving right along. I guess let me check to see if there's anyone that has a comment or a question for us. Family, if you have a question or a comment, by all means you can press one now. We certainly would love to hear from you. We are again talking about the great, and we now call her Saint Amy Jack Scarby. We have 20 sister saints, and I guess I can kind of give you a little hint to something that's going on, because I'm so pleased that as of yesterday, we've added another piece to something that we've been working on in regards to our 20 sister saints. And it just so happened that I've been working on a stage play. And, you know, again, that's one of the other hats that I used to wear that only a few people know about. If you talk to Sister Pam, she'll tell you that's how we met. I was actually writing and performing and other things with poetry, and I had my own dance troupe and some other things. Anyway, I kind of left all that alone to do the work that, you know, I think, I believe I was, you know, designated to do by our ancestors, our creator. At any rate, I kind of put all that to the side. So now I'm given permission to continue some of, you know, that part of myself. So at any rate, I've continued to write. I just never really shared it. But we are getting ready to produce our first play. And it is called Sister Saints. And it will highlight our 20 sister saints and others in this production, and we plan to debut it in 2022. But my point is, yesterday I met a sister who is going to be so instrumental in certain parts of the play. She is an accomplished dancer. Of course, she's gone through all the schooling and all of that in terms of formal training. But you talk about dance in terms of hip hop and street stuff. Oh my gosh, she's incredible. Anyway, so now we know we have you know, the type of choreography that I've been looking for, because one of the sister saints that we will be highlighting is the great Catherine Dunham, right? She's for us is Saint Catherine Dunham. She's one of our sister saints. So we had to make sure we had somebody up in there that could dance for real, for real. And we found her. She was sent to us yesterday. Thank you, Baba Tyrone, for that. So, again, we put that out there to all of you. We will be looking for other performers in the very near future, okay? And we're partnering with another nation, by the way, in that regard, which we'll tell you a little bit about later. But we do look to hopefully, you know, premiere it in 2020, late 2020. Okay, so we'll be telling more about that later. But anyway, going back to the great Amy Jack Scarby, let's talk about publisher. How about that? Publishing.
Okay.
the newspaper, keeping that going, keeping that moving. You got it, Brother Lyon. Tell us about that.
Okay. I have an interview that she had that she's done here with a sister named Ida Lewis, and she asked her about the Negro World. I'm trying to find her actual answer, but her her initial response to the Negro World question was, "So you help bring it to life?" And her response was, "No, that it was already rolling mm-hmm. before she got to it, right?" Mm-hmm. However, right. without her, it would never have reached the over 200,000 people readership that it did. She was chief editor at one point and at its height. And she also worked with Dr. John Henry Clark on One of the Garbage. She, like I said, earlier we were speaking about the philosophies and opinions of Marcus Messiah Garvey. And in her mm-hmm. goal in trying to publish those things was, again, not so much to create a book so much, and she definitely didn't realize that we was going to take it to heart the way we did, but she really mm-hmm. just wanted people to understand her husband. You know, she had a genius that she was sitting next to, and people were just not getting it because there was too much stigma in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the genius behind making sure we understood what the philosophy and opinions of Marcus Garvey even was.
Right.
So for that, we will be eternally grateful.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I hope that was a good response to that question.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And again, I raised that because that is one of the areas that MWM will be pursuing next year. And again, it is as a result of knowing and having an understanding of some of our women who, in fact, did that. You see, we've got to now reignite, certainly continue the development of those things. We already have sisters in our camp and our cadres that are self-publishing. And so we do know that it's really becoming almost a lost art, because publishing is like an art. And, you know, for those that really understand that. And unfortunately, today in the so-called digital age and whatever, in the technology age, we're losing the art of publishing, just like the art of certain other kinds of things we're starting to lose it. And so this is something we're going to look a little closer at to make certain that we don't get all the way caught up into what, you know, is becoming the mainstay. We do know that a lot of our bookstores are not flourishing as they did because, you know, a lot of stuff you can now get online. And a bigger problem, of course, is something called Amazon and things of those of that nature, meaning, you know, they have really captured almost every area of publishing and bought up the smaller houses, publishing houses, and so forth. So, you know, so we have to begin to now examine to a greater extent, how are we going to proceed in this so-called age of technology and digitality and so forth. So again, that's going to be a session that we're going to be holding in the very near future. And by the way, family, those of you who want to join the St. Amy Josh Garvey study group, because that's what we now have for you, a study group. You know, this is the kind of stuff that our people used to have. When you look at movements from the past, they always had other components to assure the continuation of information and development when it came to various topics and work and so forth. And so we have also, meaning MWM and its universal movements, we also have, you know, embraced those models. And so for all of our sister saints, we have a study group. So if you're interested in being a part of the Amy Josh Garvey study group, by all means, let us know. You can email us or text us, and we will certainly start getting you some information in that regard. Okay? With that said, Brother Lyon, in your opinion, you know, based on what you know and
have familiarized yourself with as far as being a Garveyite, what would you suggest that women, black women, of course, should do to continue to bring forward the work of Amy Josh Garvey? What are some of the things you would suggest?
That is a very deep question. Well, you know, if I may, before I answer that completely, can I just say the actual quote about the Negro world that she had? Because I actually pulled it up while you were speaking. So we
sure.
can actually have the answer to these words.
She said,
the Negro world had its own officers and very good editors, too. I had a page in the paper called the Woman's Page. It was about our women and what they thought. It wasn't feminist at all. During the time that Garvey was in Atlanta, 2 years and 10 months, I had to keep the international perspective right up to date through my editorials and news items because we are international through and through. So that just sort of echoes the other thing that you were just saying just now.
Mm-hmm.
And moving into that question, what should black women do to emulate Saint Amy Jack Garvey?
Mm-hmm.
Again, take just from the lessons that we just spoke about tonight, being raised in a way where she understands independence and understands the benefits of hard work, and using her platform to uplift others and to make sure that there was a firm base that supported, as a mother does, the only thing that I think is missing is the fact that we need to instill a certain thing in a sort of rites of passage, like you were saying before. Again, all the things that you already say, a rites of passage style thing that we need to set up as a community to teach our people, boys and girls, to show that respect for not only their elders, but for their ancestors. And this is just African culture. This is just a general thing that we need to get back to. Again, restorative African justice. And one other thing about the touching on the mother thing and the ancestral thing. You know, I just mentioned how she actually did run the entire UNIA-ACL while Marcus Garvey was in jail. People always talk about him being arrested. She was running UNIA during that time, the entire government, all of the millions at that time. As a mother, she has the esteemed honor to have been married to the first president general, and her son, her oldest son, Dr. Jack Garvey Jr., he's not the third, his name is Dr. Marcus Garvey Jr., was the seventh president general of the UNIA-ACL. That is an honor nobody can ever ever achieve. So that is that's just amazing. Yes. Queen Mother.
That's interesting. The first and the seventh. Wow.
That's crazy.
That's powerful. Yeah, that's very powerful.
So we wish strength to the whirlwind, power to the whirlwind.
Wow. So with that said, you just hit on a word that I'd like to elaborate on for a moment. You know, some say today that we think maybe we're seeing at least some resemblance or some indication of the whirlwind. Certainly something's happening. And again, I've heard a few people, you know, kind of make mention of that they think this could be the, if not the beginning, but certainly an indication that the whirlwind is upon us or coming upon us. What are your thoughts about that? And for those who are not familiar with that term or that phrase, I'm going to ask Brother Lyon to give us a little insight into where that came from and what it means.
Again, dealing with the ancestral honoring and veneration and the spiritual energy. Marcus Garvey said, "When I am dead, wrap me in the red, the black, and the green. You can look for me in the whirlwind or storm, and I will be back with countless of ancestors to help you in the struggle for victory, liberty, and life."
Woo!
One God, one aim, one destiny. Come on.
Wow. All right. So with that said, do you kind of think or feel, or would you agree to some extent, that just maybe we're entering into something that might be touching upon that?
Well, I have some beliefs. However, I would just say to your listening audience that if you believe anything as far as numerology, if you believe anything as far as things happen for a reason, different energies changing throughout the world, and you look at the things that's going on in the world today, and how there's a cycle that's happened. It's not so much that history repeats itself, but people sometimes repeat history. And if we watch the cycle, the 100-year cycle that we're in right now, and
right.
I'm sure you could probably bring it back to the 200-year cycle, then back to the 300-year cycle. When we look at the opportunities that we've been before, maybe we could catch a wave in this next breeze.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I dare say I think we are entering into a very, very important and powerful period. I call it the Ma'atic Epoch. There's some who call it the Age of Aquarius, and I say, well, that's cool. I mean, I understand that because that's the regular jargon that most utilize and are familiar with. And there's certainly been other times that, you know, the Age of Aquarius was indicated. And it just means, you know, an aligning of various planets in a certain kind of way, you know, and so they call that Age of Aquarius. But I, from an African perspective, knowing that something's going on in the universe, I might not know specifically which planets are doing what, but I'm clear enough to know something's going on. And I call it the Ma'atic Epoch because I identify with Ma'at. And so epoch or epoch, as some call it, just refers to a very specific designated period in time. And so I've been writing something called the Ma'atic Epoch. And it's interesting because I said 3 years ago that the year 2020 was going to be a very significant year, a very unforgettable year. And it would begin to kind of, you know, launch some other kinds of things metaphysically and in reality. And I dare say, oops, there it is. It is happening. So I'm saying that to say I strongly feel that if not the actual whirlwind, some segment or some portion of it is definitely in the mist. And with what I'm hearing, you know, when other people, they're feeling it too. Something's going on. And more folks are becoming more in tune to the ancestors. They're saying that. They're feeling it. They're demonstrating it. So surely enough, that is what the Honorable Marcus Garvey said. He would see folks in the whirlwind, and he would be bringing the ancestors with them. So, you know, what else can we say, family?
Well, I have something, if you don't mind. He also said, and when you look at, when you're going to see God, you make sure you see God in your own image. Through the spectacles of what he said, Ethiopia, but he mentioned of Africa. And when we're talking about the restorative justice that I mentioned earlier and the Ma'atic Epoch that you mentioned now, we're talking about restoring black law and of the mighty goddess Ma'at. You know what I'm saying? So when we're talking about St. Amy John Garvey, who made sure that she restored the kingdom, and made sure the foundation was laid, for us to even be talking about it right now, when we say that things is coming around, that's what we're talking about. You know what I mean? Just like, I'm not sure if you remember the presentation I did about the 25th dynasty, quoting John Henry Clark when he said how the pharaohs from Ethiopia, from Kush, moved into Egypt to restore the Ma'atic justice to the nation, to make sure we had black law, to make sure we was living right, and make sure we was following the lead of the great black woman, Ma'at.
Wow. Absolutely. Well, family, I mean, what more can we say? It is quite evident that something is going on. We need to pay very close attention and certainly read the writing that is not only on the wall, but right in front of your face. And we need to make certain that we now act accordingly, respond accordingly, okay? Not react, but respond accordingly. And that is what we're talking about doing. Okay, before we close out, my brother, tell us how's Kwanzaa been for you this year?
Kwanzaa has been beautiful. I've had the honor to be able to speak with several of the different celebrations around the Garveyite world, and that has just been a blessing. And this has just been an addition to that here on Kuhumba Night. So Kuhumba Abarigani to all of your listeners. It's just been excellent.
Wonderful. And speaking of Kuhumba creativity, surely in this conversation, we have kind of, you know, hit upon various aspects of creativity. When we talk about the Honorable Marcus Garvey, looking at it in another context, certainly creativity was definitely a part of, you know, being in the forefront, needless to say. So, because never before have we seen something of that nature, at least not in, you know, in time period that we can actually kind of see footage and pictures and things of that nature. So, you know, that definitely required a certain level of creativity, because you just cannot not only think of those kinds of things, but certainly not put them in place if you're not dealing with a very, I would say, high level of creativity. What are your thoughts about that, Brother Ryan?
Definitely, I agree. When we talk about teaching African fundamentalism and African nationalism to our children, which was her duty at the time, the youth corps was required to create in their own way. They had to give speeches and learn how to do public speaking and, like Garvey said, try to become scientists par excellence. Everything was trying to instill that type of thing into our babies, to be creative, not just in an artistic way. And even in Kwanzaa, it tells you it's not just talking about being creative artistically or musically. It's trying to be creative, find creative ways to build your community and leave it better than it was when you got it.
Wow. Yeah, I think we need to say that again. We need to elaborate on that again. And the reason why I'm saying that is because the mere fact that gentrification has created neighborhoods instead of communities, and the few communities that are still kind of in existence have become so fragmented. There's a lack of direction. There's certainly a lack of leadership, for lack of a better word. And definitely not a focus on anything that's independent in our community. So I'm glad you mentioned that concept or that portion of creativity of Kuhumba, because again, I'm thinking and seeing that people have really gotten away from, you know, what you just said in developing our community
and leaving it better than it was when you found it for generations to come. That is the most important part, because if you do the work with that in mind, again, the individual falls away. The opportunism falls away because you're not doing it for your own benefit, doing it for what's to come for our children and our children's children. Like I always say, there's no more honorable mission than to build for the future generations of our people.
And let me just recap on that for a moment in terms of what has actually been written by Dr. Karenga. And it says, to do always as much as we can in the way that we can in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than when we inherited it, which is pretty much what Brother Lyon just said. And again, I'm really glad that you said that, sir, because we need to emphasize, again, our communities, family, what has happened? I mean, every year folks commemorate, celebrate, observe Kwanzaa, but again, how has that really developed our communities? And as we just as was just indicated, in a way that is better for the future. That's a very key part of it. So, you know, tomorrow we will hold the finale or the last day of Kwanzaa, Imani, and one of the conversations that we're going to have, because we're going to be encompassing all seven principles, we're going to be talking more about how these principles can be applied on a day-to-day basis for real, or at least to a greater extent other than the 7 days that is designated. How can we transform or enact these seven principles to a greater extent at other times? Okay, so that's kind of what we're going to be working on. Did I just lose Brother Lyon? I think I did. Yep, okay. Hopefully he will call back in a few moments, because I think I just lost him. But at any rate, family, that's one of the things that we will be talking about tomorrow. Again, from 6 to 9 o'clock, we will be sending out the link. If you haven't gotten it already, you will be getting it very shortly. And if not, please feel free to email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. You can, I'm trying to see, Brother Lyon is texting me back, or you can text me at 267-636-3802. Okay, let me see what we have here. All right, he's saying something's going on with his phone, so that's okay. We got a lot of good information that was conveyed to us by Brother Lyon. And so, family, what we're going to do is we're going to get ready to close this session out. This was a special edition. Our regular program, of course, Saturday night at 10:30 p.m., we will meet with you, greet with you, and be with you then. Again, we remind you, please put on your calendar tomorrow from 6 to 9. We will be doing our Zoom virtual Kwanzaa program. And we'll be featuring a children's presentation. Brother Obi is going to be with us, and we will have that presentation that the children did in Swahili, primarily in Swahili. So we'll be talking about some of the issues. We talked about it briefly on our radio program. We're going to talk more about, again, how to apply these principles, given the fact that we now have more homeless children in our communities or from our communities. Again, what are we talking about in our communities in that regard? We're going to also talk about, I'll have the information for everyone tomorrow as to how you can support two of our women that are political prisoners, Reverend Joy and Mrs. Tonya Victor. I'll have their addresses for you. If nothing else, particularly sisters, please send them a card, something. I'm waiting for Mrs. Victor's son to call to get back to me to let me know what other needs she may have. And I think I already have some information on Reverend Joy Powell. So, sisters, again, we're going to do a little more for some of our women and our girls. And, again, on Saturday, there will be some special sessions Saturday and Sunday for sisters only, with some of what's getting ready to happen for 2021 as it pertains to A Million Black Women Rising. Anyway, family, we're going to get ready to leave you. And before we do, we're going to remind you about something, again, that Elhaj Malik El-Shabazz shared with us some time ago. And given the fact that we now have a group that we call the Malcolm X Legacy Collective, we're going to continue to highlight particularly the last 2 years of his life in terms of the work that we're getting ready to do, but we're going to also make certain that his life as a black man fighting for us is going to be something that we continue to uphold and make sure that people know more about, okay? With that said, we're going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you in the spirit of Ma'at and Hotep. But remember, there can never be any real peace, meaning Hotep, until there's truly black justice. And we're talking about Ma'atic justice. Because if there's no justice, there definitely won't be any peace. Until next time, family, which will be tomorrow, we're going to now leave you with these words and want you to think about it.
Who taught you greed? Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such a sense that you greed to get like the white man? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? Who taught you to hate your own kind? Who taught you to hate the race that you belong to? So much so that you don't want to be around each other. You know, before you come after Mr. Muhammad, the DC chief,